Are you weary and heartbroken? Do you need healing and deliverance? Welcome to the program, Jesus Can, with your host, Dr. Bongi. Our mission is to help you step by step live a victorious life in Christ. Enjoy today's program.
We are reading from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that your word, Heavenly Father, is always true, and we believe in it. Thank you, Father God, that you are speaking to us. We are listening, touch each and everyone accordingly, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are talking about being chosen, that you are chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So if you are chosen, I believe that it's a favor from God, because it's not by your works, but it's because you were chosen before the foundation of earth, before even you were formed in your mom's womb already, you were chosen and ordained. I just want to start with an illustration before I start the sermon. There was a boy around 7 years old who was an orphan and who has been crippled, born crippled with the left leg being shorter than the right leg. So the boy was limping as a result of the legs that were not equal. So this boy, as an orphan, was with the social workers and was there waiting for people to adopt him. So many people will come and watch the orphans playing, and they will often pick other kids, and every time he will remain for many years, he was not chosen. So now it happened one day, a wealthy family decided to come and adopt a child, and simultaneously the man and the woman, they just fell in love with this boy, and they chose that this is the boy that will love him to be our son. And all the administration, all the paperwork was done, and now the boy went home with this couple. As they were now at home, everything went well, but the parents felt that the boy is feeling lonely. So now they decided that if we can just maybe get a puppy for him, that will just cheer him up. And now they took him and they went to a place where they can buy puppies. There were many different kinds of puppies and some bigger dogs, so they allowed him to have his choice. Out of those puppies, there was one puppy that was black, skinny, and now also having a problem with the leg. The front left leg was once fractured and there was a malunion because there was no attention from the vet. So now because of the malunion, this puppy was limping. And now the boy, without hesitating, just chose immediately to say, this is the puppy that I will want to have, pointing at a limping puppy. The parents tried to convince him otherwise, to say, but don't you see this other fluffy cream white puppy? Won't you like this one? Won't you like that one? And now, but the boy was adamant to say, I am choosing this limping, skinny one. And now they had no choice, but they just bought that limping puppy and brought it at home. When they were at home, they sat down with the boy to ask the boy to say, but tell us, what made you to choose this puppy? And now the boy answered to say, I have known the pain of rejection. I have experienced the pain of wanting to be chosen and not being chosen. I have experienced the pain of being different from other people. So now when I saw this dog that is different from other dogs, I felt the same thing that I usually felt when I was still in a waiting list, waiting for people to choose me, and people were not choosing me. So this boy had wisdom. Out of his misery, there was wisdom that was like instilled in him. So, but what is my point? I am trying to say that me and you, we are chosen. This boy went through trauma of being rejected, suffering rejection as a child, which could have like a repercussions like that, which could result in many psychological like difficulties. But if we go now to the Bible, we find that already with us, we have been chosen. If we give our lives to Jesus, we have been chosen, because already he chose us even before we said yes to him. Before we say now we give our lives to him, he has already chose you, because he said that he knew before the foundation of the world, before like the foundation of the world, he knew you. He already knew everything about you. And he also said your life has been destined. So Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells us that even before like your parents even knew each other, before the world was formed, already God knew you. So you can see that you were chosen long time ago. So out of this, we can get that it's not about your works. It's not about you that you are chosen. It's not about your merits. It's not about your qualifications. It's not about being eloquent. It's not being like maybe a student A, but like it's about God. It's about his love that he chose you. In John 15 verse 16, he says he has chosen and appointed you. So already there is an appointment. If there is an appointment, it means there is a purpose. That's why if now I say I needed an appointment with you for 11 o'clock, you want to know the agenda, because it means there's a purpose. There should be a purpose that why are we meeting. So now, but God now tells us that we have been chosen and also appointed. Other versions said ordained. So there is a purpose. Each and everyone, you are chosen for a specific purpose. No one is just like left like without any appointment, left without any ordination. Like God has a plan. He declares the end from the beginning. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 that before you were formed in your mom's womb, I already called you, knew you, and called you as a prophet. So before formed, you can just imagine, already God had already declared the end from the beginning, knew that the mother of Jeremiah and the father of Jeremiah will meet, and there will be Jeremiah, and Jeremiah will be a prophet. So before he was even formed, already there was a destination, already there was a destiny, already there was a vision, already there was an appointment. Now here the Bible tells us that we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, we are peculiar people. chosen generation, being chosen means being set apart. So now we don't conform. So now we are like put to stand out. We don't like try to fit in, but we stand out because now we have been chosen. We are a royal priesthood. Royal, once we talk of royal, we're talking of like kings. So now we are kings. The Bible says he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So we are the kings. We are the Lord. So now we are the royal priesthood. So like this is our identity. So like we should walk according to our identity that we are chosen, that we are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. A holy nation is also a nation that is set apart. So we have been set apart not by our works, but by his grace we have been set apart. We are a peculiar people. I know like people mostly, they explain peculiar like being odd, being weird, but I will say actually it's a wonder, like being a wonder. You are a wonder to people. People, they just wonder to see how is she doing it? How is he managing? How is she managing? You are a wonder to people. People cannot like add up like to say like to calculate you, to understand you, because you are a wonder. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, peculiar person. So like it's no longer you who lives, but Christ lives in you. That's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. Because now you understand that he lives, he moves, and he has his being in Christ. Even ourselves, we live, we move, and we have our being in Christ. That's why we are a wonder. That's why we are chosen. That's why we are a whole generation. That's why we are royal priesthood. God, since he has chosen us and appointed us, it means we are vessels to be used. But I must say that what I've noticed with God, most of the time, God uses people who are available. People who will say, here am I. It's not about the qualifications. It's not about the merits. But it's about your availability to say, do you say yes to God? When you say yes to God, he uses you. That's why he uses mostly unlikely people like that, people that you wouldn't even think. Just think of Jesus when Jesus was carrying the cross. The person who helped Jesus to carry the cross wasn't even like a Jewish person, but it was Simon from Cyrene, somewhere in North Africa. So like it was a stranger. God uses like people who are unlikely, unlikely circumstances, unlikely situations is where God like reveal himself, because now his glory will be seen. Because if it's from the expected like a source, now they will say, ah, in any way, it's because this one is excelling. Ah, it's expected that he will get this great results. In any way, he's excellent. But God now will use the one whom people have like given up on. And then now the situation that you will call it that is stinking. And then it's when God will bring life out of that stinking situation. And then now you will see that he is God. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible tells us that he uses foolish things to confound the wise. So the wise become confounded, because now what is being despised, what is being undermined, what is not like being taken like care of, and then out of that like you find that something good arises. So that's why sometimes we shouldn't despise even like little beginnings, early beginnings. We shouldn't despise unlikely things. We shouldn't despise the humble like beginnings, because now we know that God is where he works. In the weaknesses, his grace abounds. In our weaknesses, he is our strength. So his strength is shown in our weaknesses. But when we are strong already, when like we can do it on our own, we don't like give him a chance. We don't give that grace to abound. We don't give that strength to abound. But I don't say that we should be weak, but I'm explaining that in our weaknesses, it's where his grace abounds. So it's important that we can follow Proverbs 1 verse 7, where it says that we shouldn't like be wise in our own eyes. So because sometimes like we become too wise in our own eyes, and now we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work, because now we just know it all. We just like we are there, like we don't need any help. And the Holy Spirit is our companion. The Holy Spirit is there like to work with us, to help us, because he is there as like your comforter, paracletos, someone who's close to you, someone who's willing to walk with you, like in your weakness, he's there to strengthen you. If like you can check like the people whom God used, it's not people who had it all together. You look at Jeremiah when he was called. Now Jeremiah says, I'm young. And God didn't ask Jeremiah, are you old? Jeremiah, are you middle aged? And God didn't miss the date of birth of Jeremiah. God knew about the age of Jeremiah, but Jeremiah says, I am young. So now, because he doesn't understand that it's not about him, he is chosen. So when you are chosen, you are chosen as you are. God qualifies the unqualified. He called the unqualified and qualified them. He calls the imperfect and then perfect them. Moses, when Moses was called, Moses says, I'm a stammerer. I cannot talk. God says, who made even that mouth? Who made you to even stutter? Because I'm the creator. The person who has made you to stutter can stop that stuttering. The person who has created that mouth can create another mouth that doesn't stutter. But because we don't understand that when he speaks already, he has everything lined up, because he declares the end from the beginning. We always have excuses. We always have like those things of saying, this I don't have, this, I lack that. When God calls you, he calls you knowing your weaknesses. He calls you knowing your strength and also knowing your weaknesses. But yet he calls you, yet he has chosen you. It doesn't mean that when he chose you, you are the perfect one. So like, just come as you are. It's like the issue of availability of saying, Lord, I am here, use me. Gideon was a coward, but when God calls Gideon, he calls him as a man of valor, the valiant man. But it's because he looks beyond the cowardice, like he looks beyond what is happening now, but he sees you the way he has predestined you. He sees you the way he saw you before the foundations of earth. When you look at Jesus, Jesus was like baptized by John the Baptist. And now there was a voice that says, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. At that point, Jesus hadn't done all the casting of demons, all like the praying of the blind, like so that the blind can see, raising the dead. He didn't even raise Lazarus at that point. Didn't like pray for someone who's paralyzed. Didn't pray for someone who had a withered hand. Didn't do much, but God was already pleased with Jesus. So most of the time we interchange these things. We feel that our works are the ones that qualify us, while it's the work that Christ did at the cross that qualifies us. That's why was pleased, God was pleased with Jesus even before he even performed all the miracles. So, but sometimes we are fighting to perform. We are fighting to like works, and the works, it's not about that out of the motive of saying we love the Lord, we want to serve the Lord, but maybe it's a motive like of like buying to say, now I'm doing this so that God can love me. I doing this so that God can be pleased with me. God is pleased with you. God has chosen you. God has ordained you. Just like be rest, like rest in his promises, rest in his loving arms. Just enjoy the relationship, enjoy being intertwined with the Holy Spirit, and in that way it will be easier for the Holy Spirit to work in you, because there is no like even that claiming of saying, if you see me standing like this, you know it's because I pray 7 hours a day. It's because I fast 4 days per week. So now it's like we're taking the glory. Like I'm like this because of what I have done. But now that's like neglecting what Jesus did at the cross. Because Jesus did everything for us at the cross. And it's important that we should embrace that for us to know God, that we may know him, if we can understand his love, if we can understand what he has done for us, if we can understand what, like, he has changed, the things that he has changed for us, then we'll just be restful. We will understand that when he said it was finished, but we want to, like, handle things like on our own. We want to do things on our own, like we want to fight on our own. But the battle is not ours, the battle is his. And even better, the battle has already been won. He has already won for us. It's just for us to enjoy the friendship with him. It's just for us to abide. As we abide, everything flows from that relationship of abiding. Jesus, even when now he was calling like all the disciples, you could see that actually there was no like category to say that he's looking for perfect people. He called Judas. He knew that Judas will betray him. He called Peter. He knew that Peter will deny him. He called like many like disciples that at the end of the journey, they couldn't even tarry with him for just 1 hour to pray with him for 1 hour. But he knew about it. But still, he chose them, because now he was looking beyond what was happening at that point. He knew that they will turn around. Even ourselves, God is looking beyond of our situation now, because we are just a work in progress. We are still under the process of sanctification. Yes, justification has happened, but there is sanctification. So there is still the renewal of our minds. So God is just looking for people who are saying yes to him. When we say yes to him, then he is willing to take us to dimensions that we have never seen, that we have never like hoped for. What I want to say is that sometimes when we are chosen, we feel as if now all things, now since we are chosen, then all things will be rosy. But actually, like being chosen now set you apart. Now it makes you like to be different. Now it makes you, it brings the rejection, just like the story that I said it, that the boy was different, so it brought rejection. The puppy was different, that's why the boy thought that I should take this puppy, because this puppy will go through what I went through. So, but what am I saying? I am saying that a difference can attract now, like anonymity, like you may find that there's rejection. Now people like are moving away from you, and now you feel the sense of loneliness, but it's still the work of God. It all works together for good for those who are called by the Lord and who are like called according like to his calling. Now it means that now at that point, God is working on you. God is progressing you. God is processing you. You are at like a work, like we are the road under construction. God is busy with you. So now it's impossible for him to be busy with you when you are also like disturbed, like when there's too much crowd. So that's why these people leave you. These people, they leave you because there's a purpose. God is calling you to himself. So when you see friends now as if they are rejecting you and you feel lonely, you feel isolated, you are not lonely, you are not isolated. Like you are being progressed. God is elevating you. God is taking you to another level. God is calling you closer because he needs you. We should be honest, we need people, but if most of the time we spend it with people and less of God, then it will disturb our relationship. You must hear me well. I don't say that we should withdraw ourselves and not like socialize with people. No, God expects us to go to the world. That's why he says, I'm not taking you from the world because you should bring light to that world. But what I'm trying to say is that in the midst of being in the world, you should remember that you are a chosen generation. You should remember that you are a royal priesthood, you are a whole nation, you are a peculiar people. So you shouldn't conform, but you should be there to transform. So that's why now sometimes God will isolate you so that he can do some work in you, so that like he can teach you his ways, so that you can understand his ways, because you cannot hear people and still hear God, because now God, now his ways are different. So now if like you want to hear God, you have to shut like the voice of the crowd. You have to hear what he's saying, and now like the crowd, they should be, the voice of the crowd should be lesser than what God is saying. So today, this is the message that God has placed in my heart to say, we are called, we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, we are peculiar people, and when God has chosen you, no one can change that. Jesse saw that the father of David, after he has even not invited David when Samuel was there to anoint one of the sons to be the kings, because he didn't think that that will also include David. He didn't think that David will qualify for that, but all these other ones were brought forth. But as like Samuel was trying to put the horn on those people to put the oil, their horn was not flowing oil until they had to call the rejected one. They had to call the one who's with the sheep, the smallest one, the despised one. And now the despised one, when he came, when Samuel now just put the horn, the oil was speaking to say he is the one. He is the chosen generation. He is the royal priesthood. He is the holy nation. He is a peculiar person. He is the king. He is the one who will show Israel light. So even today, I am saying you are chosen. You are the one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Jesus Can with Dr. Bongi. We hope you've enjoyed the program. Please tune in again, same time, same place. Always remember that if Jesus can, you can. Shalom.